with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of frame access. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kind of homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. It's from the taxi man and on the radio. And the jeans is on. And the jeans is on. And the jeans is on.
Yes. Now that that was like nearly a full minute of Miley Cyrus, welcome, welcome, welcome.
That was the right choice.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, we have so much to tell you guys today. Welcome, thank you for joining us. This is the Black Boy Collective Presents Justice and Juice.
Juice.
Oh, B, come on. You gotta do
B,
the
you
juice.
You gotta do the juice, B.
Juice.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
As you guys just heard, that beautiful note comes from our guest host today, Brenda Barbarena. She is a member of Blackboard and is joining us today as we are missing Laska Music and The Wizard. So we are just unleashed, you guys. The Wiz is not here to leash us. Whew. I don't know how he's going to feel about that. I don't even know if I did the opening song correctly, you guys. I'm going to be honest. I don't know how that's going to be for him.
You know what? The wizard can fix any and all things.
He can fix all the things.
Important.
All the things. Yeah. So thank you for joining us, B.
B. Thanks for having me. Woo. So excited to be here.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So excited to have you.
So I am Casey, and I am drinking coffee. So I went to Trader Joe's yesterday, which is a whole event during fall. And I got some maple coffee. So it's maple coffee with a little bit of vanilla oat milk. Yeah. So that's what I'm drinking.
A moment. Oh my God, that sounds delicious.
It's a fall moment. And then
I need you guys to know I miss Trader Joe's almost as much as I miss you guys. Like almost.
I get
that. You don't have Trader Joe's?
No. And it's devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be like, devastating.
I have to drive like multiple hours to find a Trader Joe's.
Oh my
Don't
God.
Move to a small town, you guys.
That's
Don't
terrible.
Do it.
T's and P's.
Anyways.
T's and P's.
T's and P's. T's and P's. Thank you so much. Thank you. I really needed that.
I'm also drinking a little. So also from Trader Joe's. I think I've told you guys about this. They have these little things in cans that are rosé and sparkling water mixed together. Mm-hmm. So I put that in a glass with some lemon juice and a little splash of Aperol. So that's
oh my God.
My little morning
a whole cocktail.
Morning
a
cocktail. And then I'm
a morning cocktail.
I'm drinking a vat of water.
Yay!
Woo!
I love that.
Pajit, what you drinking?
Hello everybody. It's Paige. I am simply drinking a vat of water today. I have been real busy with school and trying to get my drinking a little bit more under control. So I only have two glasses of wine and like maybe a shot of Fernet a day. Sometimes I've been like, okay, three glasses of wine, like sure. But if I start early, then I have to crash and burn early and I am awake all hours of the day. So, you know, some of those hours should be spent with a glass of wine and I just choose to keep those later this time. And then once Thanksgiving break comes and I don't have school for a whole week, I'm going to be drunk for an entire week.
Woo! Yeah, the only reason I'm able to do this today is because I have like the day off today, which is so rare. It like does not happen where I have a whole day.
I love that.
So
I'm so glad that you have that.
That's celebrating. It happens once every blue moon. It happens.
But yeah.
Very excited.
Well, good for you. I'm proud of you. All right, B, what about you? What you drinking?
Hello. B here.
Yes, B.
I am just drinking black coffee and water. Keeping it
simple.
Simple, very simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like that.
That's
we
the
like
best
that.
Way. That's the
Great.
Best way to do it.
So, Paige, you want to tell us about our black business?
Do I? You bet I do. All right, everybody. You all know that this Black business is near and dear to my heart. It is my best friend's mother, Miss Legina Charles. Woo. And her business is called Good Intentions Holistics. GI Holistics is owned by Legina Charles. Its purpose is to support people as they adapt a healthy diet and positive lifestyle so they can live a holistic life. The best-selling product that they have is elderberry sea moss. Sea moss is a superfood that should be consumed daily. It has like 98 of the like 107 minerals or whatever you need to consume daily for your body to run properly. It helps with your skin. It helps with gut health. It helps. I've had shingles since I was 21 and they flare up a lot. And I've noticed a difference in like how they flare up, since I've been taking it. And it says that the elderberry one is the best seller, but I highly recommend the goji berry. It's delicious. So yeah, GI Holistics. Their information is all on our website, and you can head to their website from there or follow their Instagram at GI Holistics on Instagram. Woo. And go support my second mama.
Yes, go support her. That's so awesome. Holistics are so important. I actually need to order some to be quite honest with you.
It's,
so I'm gonna be doing
that. Honestly, yeah. I took it at the beginning of last or I don't even know what year it is. At the beginning of 2021, I started taking it and I like didn't really notice a difference, but I wasn't taking it consistently. And I wasn't like very active. Like I was just kind of like sedentary and doing school. And so now that my life is like super, super busy, I absolutely notice a difference in how I feel when I'm taking it. And so I think it just like helps. I don't know what it does. It's a superfood though, but I mean, there's merch, there's sea moss, there's like a lot of stuff. So go check it out and support.
Yes. Amazed. So what is happening in the world today, you guys? What's going on?
I mean, everything.
I know you talked a little bit about the Parkland situation. You want to tell us what happened there this morning?
Yeah. So today, Nicholas Cruz pled guilty for killing 17 people, which was 14 students and 3 staff members at the, this is the Parkland shooter. And he pled guilty 17 times with 17 charges of first degree murder and an additional 17 charges of attempted murder. His team is wanting a 17 life sentences is what they want for him. So
his team wants that?
Yeah.
Like his lawyers are fighting for that or the prosecution?
So no, it says he initially pleaded not guilty to all of the crimes, but his attorneys recently said they would not contest his guilt. Instead, the group of public defenders who represent Cruz have asked the court to sentence him to 17 life sentences.
Dang, I didn't even know that that was possible. Yeah.
Neither did I.
For your own lawyers to be like, yeah, nah. Lawyer. Like, actually.
Well, they're also they're also public defenders, so they're busy. They're not like a defense system.
Right, like but that, I thought that just legally, if a lawyer is representing you, I didn't realize that they could actually refuse to, like, defend you yeah essentially so. Like it sounds like they said, hey, if you choose to plead not guilty, we're not defending you. Like that's what it sounds like they said, and I didn't know that was possible.
They probably said, I'm learning about this kind of stuff in class right now, and
see, this is what you do in school, y'all. I don't know what
this is what I do in school. They most likely said something to the effect of like, these are your options. If you plead guilty, we're going to go through, or if you plead not guilty, we're going to go through this trial. But here is all of the evidence against you, and you have not a chance in hell of getting off. Like there's no defense that I can drum up in my mind to defend you in this moment. And because honestly, like defense attorneys, and I've even been thinking about going to law school to be a public defender, but
ooh, girl.
Like.
That's a calling. Like,
he's in peace.
T's and T's, baby. T's and T's. But honestly, like when you watch defense attorneys, like that all that's like all I've been doing for when I've had to like take on the role of a defense attorney in a case, and you really like are pretty much presented with like this amount of facts, and you're like, how do I spin this into like my client is not guilty, or my client is guilty but shouldn't be tried for, or shouldn't be, you know, convicted because of XYZ or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. you know, these extenuating circumstances. So I'm going to assume that the public defenders were like, there's nothing we can do to make this pan out any better for you.
I mean,
so
I always assume they're going to
well
like,
just take that.
I always assume they're going to try to have them plead insanity.
Yeah. That's, mm-hmm. yeah. But they didn't even try that.
Yeah, they were like, no.
They said 17. Yeah.
They were like, they were like, you know what? We have 19 other cases that we're working on right now. So
right, and 19 other people who are probably actually innocent. Like a lot of the people who public defenders end up representing are actually innocent. They just don't have the
money. Are innocent. Right. Or are in there on these like dumb trumped up charges that like don't that like really shouldn't be happening.
Right.
So that's why I want to do it. But anyways.
Yeah, I know. And I feel like that's why a lot of public defend I feel like that's kind of the only reason to be a public defender, because otherwise otherwise it's a pretty thankless job. So probably those types of people getting faced with somebody like this who is, you know, clearly guilty and committed such a heinous crime, they're probably like, no, this is a waste of my I'm not in this to defend you. You know, the life of you.
Yeah. Well, and like, and they, you know, like they have to defend him. I just assume, I really assume that they like looked at all avenues and they were like, we cannot come up with a defense for why you did what you did. So like, let's not waste anyone's time here. Like, say you're guilty. Let's not go through also the expense. Trials are expensive.
Yeah,
the expense of the drainage on the state, which is Florida, which has no money. Like, you know, let's not drain these resources when we know the outcome is going to be X, Y.
And so. I wonder if are they fighting for the 17 life sentences because capital punishment is a thing in Florida? Like, is that just to avoid?
Yeah. So,
okay.
So his two options are life in prison or the death sentence.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I am, you know, thinking of all those families of the victims of the Parkland shooting. I'm thankful that he pled guilty. I hope that he is sentenced to 17 different life sentences. It's just so unfortunate. Like, it's never going to bring people back, you know? Like, it's a weird victory. It's a very weird victory. It's like something that you're like, yes, great, but also, you know, nothing will ever be enough. So,
it does feel like a weird victory.
Yeah. Also this is just one of so many shootings, you know, like I feel like we talk about shootings nearly every week. So it's like, okay, one down, 20 to go, you know?
Yeah. Seriously. I will say that at least, I mean, when those mass shootings occur, it's pretty rare for those people to get off. Like I can't think of a person that like has committed a mass shooting that like was not convicted, right? Like,
I think you're right, but it's also like I don't know. I don't really know how to formulate the thought that I'm having, but it's like them being convicted is clearly not deterring copycats.
Right.
And people who want to do this, them being convicted is not saving the lives of the people who lost their lives during those shootings. And so it's almost like, what is this conviction doing? Like, I'm happy that it's putting that dangerous person away, but it seems like the culture, gun control, unless we do something to take guns out of people's hands who want to commit these crimes, and it feels like, great, that person is going to go to jail for murdering 17 people, but they're not sorry. They've, you know, the culture that breeds this type of human being still exists, and it's only a matter of time until it happens again, unless we change something about the access that people have to these weapons.
Absolutely. So. It sucks that you have to like sit and find like the silver lining in these situations where you're like, well, at least they always get convicted. And you're like, okay, well,
but hundreds are still dying.
Yeah. Super duper. Yeah. Like, so I remember sad. when James Holmes got convicted, like, it really does become like the only thing you can cling to. Like, when your community has gone through something like that, like, you're just like, give this man maximum penalties. Like, there was some case about him getting like beaten up in prison or something, and everyone was like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
Like, yeah. There is, once you've been through something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
nutty. It's nutty, everybody.
Well, it's anyway. A nutty, nutty world. Nutty
it's
world.
It's a nutty, nutty world. Nutty, nutty world.
I don't know why saying nutty, nutty world is making me laugh, but it is.
What other nuts do we have to talk about?
Okay, so here's the thing. Tell me about Joe Manchin and why he matters so much. Because what I don't understand All is right. that he seems to be the key to a lot of things, but also he never does what we want him to do. So I don't know why we continue to allow him to be the key to a lot of things. Is it just a numbers thing? This is my assumption, is that we need a certain number of Democrats, and because he's technically still a Democrat, we still try to make him side with us, but like, it seems like he never does. Is this correct?
That's exactly correct. Joe Manchin is the Democratic Senator of West Virginia, and we're going to call him Democratic in air quotations. So he makes up our 50-50 split, right? If the Senate wasn't so intensely split, or like, so our margin wasn't so small, or literally our margin is the tiebreaker vote of the vice president, whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday.
It's Kamala's birthday?
Yes. Hey,
happy birthday.
That's our birthday. yeah. I saw it on Twitter.
Madam Vice President, happy birthday. Okay. I'm
done. Okay. So there's like the tiebreaker vote, which is the vice president, and then you have the 50 and 50 seats. So if we had 55 seats, Joe Manchin wouldn't matter as much, because we would have four other people who were going to vote with us, and we would be fine and whatever.
Right. But we're actual Democrats.
Yes. Right. But since Joe Manchin is registered as a Democrat, is a Democratic senator, but refuses to vote for any of the things that we have put forth, or any of the bills that Joe Biden has put forward, or, I mean, any parts of the Senate, because he holds so much power, him and Kyrsten Sinema, who is truly the worst, like, the two of them are horrible. They hold so much power because they refuse to do, one, what they've been elected to do, and two, they hold the power because they know without their votes, nothing happens anyways. So my personal opinion, I saw an article today that said that Joe Manchin wanted to abdicate from the Democratic Party, and I would love for him to do that. I don't think abdicate is the correct word. What is that word?
Like, is it the throne?
He's abdicating his throne as the loser of the Democratic Party. He wants to change parties, essentially, and he wants to leave the Democratic Party, which would be tough if midterms weren't coming up next year. Right.
I was going to say, what is that process? What does that look like?
Of what? Of him?
Him leaving? Like, would he have to wait until?
I don't think so. No. So you can kind of do it like at will. As far as I'm concerned, I don't really know if there's like an actual process that goes down. But like, I remember there were multiple Republican senators and House reps that during 45's reign of terror, they left the Republican Party because they were like, this is not what I stand right. for. And so then they became independents. So I assume that it'll be something like that. But I mean, at this point, it doesn't really matter because we're not getting anything done anyways. So if Joe Manchin is the person standing in our way, if he moves to the Republican side, now then there's a majority on that side, which is a little stressful, but there's still a midterm election coming up in a year. So then that just means that we have to figure out which seats we can flip. Val Demings has had an insane fundraising quarter in Florida, and she's up against Marco Rubio. She is also so awesome. Anyone that doesn't follow her on Twitter, go follow Val Demings right now. She's a badass. I mean, so we have to, like, now is the time where we have to be focusing on the seats that we can flip, and getting those, getting an actual majority, like a real majority, so that these two senators can't continue to just, like, railroad us.
Yeah, but it just seems like I don't know. It seems like kind of a cyclical thing. Like, it feels like the things that we need to do to avoid this happening all hinge on these people that we want to get out. And, like, so I'm going to read. So just so everybody kind of understands what we're talking about in a way that, I don't know, is better than I can explain it. I'm just going to read it from my What a Day newsletter. Shout out to What a Day. It's a different podcast.
Yes, Squad Squad.
They also send a newsletter. And generally in their newsletter, I can kind of be like, oh, okay, it's, like, simple enough for me to understand. Today, I'm reading this because I'm like, you guys, help me break this down even further than What a Day did, because I don't know what's happening.
I hope I can help.
Democrats have a limited window to protect American democracy from multiple different threats, but right now the biggest obstacle seems to be themselves getting in their own way. Call it a crisis of their own manching. Like, manching. Like,
oh, God. Okay.
On Wednesday, Senate Democrats will hold a long-awaited test vote on their revised Democracy Protection Bill, the Freedom to Vote Act. Among other things, the bill would ban partisan redistricting, expand access to the polls, and protect career election officials from partisan interference. It is also, importantly, co-authored by Senator Joe Manchin, and festooned with enough bipartisan olive branches to test his theory that there are 10 good Senate Republicans who will help him insulate elections from Trump-driven efforts to subvert them. Spoiler alert, there are not 10 good Senate Republicans. Wednesday's test vote is to overcome a Republican filibuster, which would require at least 10 Republicans to join all Senate Democrats. But instead, we should anticipate at most one Senate Republican to vote with the majority and more likely zero Senate GOP support whatsoever. That means the bill can't clear the Senate tomorrow unless Democrats unilaterally change the Senate filibuster rules. And that would allow the government to protect the 2022 election before Republicans lock in election subversion efforts and partisan redistricting maps that allow them to win the House back in the midterms, or even with or without electoral majorities. Spoiler alert, Democrats are not going to change the filibuster rules, at least not tomorrow. It's unlikely that they'll even vote on changing the filibuster rules on Wednesday, even if only to expose Democrats like Manchin as the main obstacles to democracy protection. That's because Democrats need Manchin's vote to pass President Biden's economic agenda, which still hasn't passed, thanks in part to slow walking by, Manchin again. And they don't want to antagonize him. So what did I just say?
It sounds like it's just like
a lot.
You're gonna lose either way.
Like,
that's what that article sounded like to me.
It's like, and it's so much of it has to do with Joe Manchin, and I don't understand
this one man.
And, like, it's like, okay, so we need to, like, yeah, I don't know, because we don't want him to not vote on Biden's economic agenda the right way. It's like they don't want to bother him on this thing.
Yeah. They have to placate him. They have to placate him because they're trying to kind of, like, they're just trying to negotiate, right? They're trying to decide, like, which things they can decide to back off of for now, but they need to get through with his support, because they definitely know if there's no majority in the Senate, we're not passing the Build Back Better plan. We're not passing the infrastructure for this, you know, trillions of dollars that everyone's been fighting over. If there is no way to bring to that's basically what they're saying. Like, it's just a negotiation of, like, what do we want from him? We need him to vote on this financial thing. So we're going to leave him alone about this, 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 and the other, and let him have his little heyday. But the thing is that he's still not voting the way we want him to.
Right.
So then, like, go away. Like, just get out of my face then. I don't know. If I hear his name, I kill myself.
I guess it's like, it's the thing of, like, you're do we want to keep him and then maybe even have the chance of swaying him on certain votes and then winning, or do we lose him and then for sure lose the votes?
Well, yeah. It sounds like he's exactly. not even giving us the smaller votes for anything. He's not doing any. Yeah. He's just taking up space. Let's fill that with some.
If he leaves, though, I don't know that we get like an empty seat to fill. It's just that the Republicans have the majority then.
Yeah, exactly. So if he switches sides, then we're in trouble. If he, and I don't even think he's up for re-election anytime soon. So I think he just got. Maybe he is in the midterms. I don't know. I would have to look. But I mean, this is the time, and this kind of like flows into the next topic that we were discussing. But this is really the time to start paying attention to like who is up for re-election, what they believe, what's going on. Because like our election system, our people say like other countries are always like, you guys are just always preparing for a campaign. You're always preparing for an election. You're always preparing. We have an election every 2 years for this reason. And it's annoying, and I totally get it. But like, you need to find senators and state legislatures and legislators, excuse me, and representatives that you're passionate about and get behind them. You don't even need to throw your money behind them, throw your time behind them. Like, get in there, do a phone bank if you can. The phone banks are super easy. Like, but I mean, it is really just time to like get going. I know. Is there like a marching band?
Yeah, I was like, is there an animal? Is that Pantufla?
Is Pantufla. Pantufla.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Let her in.
Yeah.
Let my little baby in.
Yes. Pantufla is a guest, host as well.
Hello, Pantufla.
Oh my God, funny. I apologize, you guys.
It's fine. I was like, hello.
It just sounded like something was happening.
Yeah,
so I mean, what I was telling them before we came on the air is that it's been so much easier to slip back into this, like, not completely not paying attention, but certainly paying a lot less attention to the news and what's going on in politics now that 45 is not in office. Because, like, when he was in office, it was like the level of danger felt like it was so present. Like that I was going to wake up one morning and be dragged out of my house and things like that. Yeah. So I was just like on high alert, where now it's kind of gone back to like the normal, like, yeah, bad things are happening, but that's somewhere on the hill. And I you know, it probably won't touch me too much in a way that I'll notice unless, you know, it hits me when I pay taxes or, you know, things like that. But as we are seeing, the scary thing about realizing that myself and also reading about what was happening this morning is that what they're doing so quietly right now is changing our ability to affect who's in office, who is in these higher offices. So the likelihood that we could get another 45 or that we can get someone, God forbid, worse, and get them in multiple offices is becoming more and more likely as they, you know, do all of this redistricting and things like that. So even though it feels like things are more normal, they're gearing up to change that as soon as possible. And
also the 2.0 version, I mean, you know? Thinking about how scary the last 4 years were because of, I'm going to say his name, I think it's important, because of how, trigger warning, because of how unhinged and unstable Donald Trump is. He is not a politician. This man is not a politician. Right. There are Donald Trumps in the Senate who understand how the government works, who understand what to do, who understand how to negotiate with foreign adversaries, who understand how to do these things. So truly, like Donald Trump was horrifying, but he is not the worst of it. He brought out the worst of it, but he is not the worst of it. So, like, the time to be scared is when that motherfucker is elected.
And that's what they're trying to make possible. They're trying to make it so that, like, the way that they draw these maps will allow the Republicans to essentially choose, you know, the Republican
choose their voters,
like, whomever.
They just get to choose their voters, which is not how this works. You do not... In a democracy, you do not choose your voters. Your voters choose you. That is how this works. That is how it has always worked. And they are terrified because their they're the silent majority. No, they're not. They're a dwindling part of our country. We are a center-left country. So, like, the fact that these very far-right or center-right people are trying to claw their way to power is what's really happening. They're trying so hard to not lose the power that they've been given for the last, you know, how long has this country been a country? Since 1776, right. You know? Like,
yeah.
It's just, it is so frustrating. I saw something too that I really think that there needs to be, and like this will obviously like never actually happen but there needs to be like a different way that public servants are paid. Like, I feel like if they weren't paid as much, like maybe, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just think that that has a lot to do with it too, because then they're like, I mean, Dianne Feinstein is even part of the problem. She's a Democrat. And I'm like, bitch, you're 96, like 94, whatever. Like, you're old, you need to go. Like, let somebody newer and younger come in who can actually like hold the seat and affect change the way we want them to.
But see, this is what I've talked about this before, where I've been like, there should be an age limit on certain things. Like if you put like the age range somewhere between like 30 and 60, and then you're like constantly 70. Getting.
I could go with like 70.
I don't
like,
want 70.
I was going to say 60.
60, like my parents are over 60. Like, let's like give them a little something. I just
65 think. Maybe, but I think once we get into 70, I'm sorry, the world's not yours anymore. And it's also not,
that's fair.
It's also not going to be yours for too much longer. And the ways in which you have come to understand the world and believe things have changed. Like Bernie Sanders is a exception. You know, he's an exception, not the rule. Yeah, somehow he is kind of, he's stayed very current and, you know, thankful for him, but that's so rare. That's so rare that happens. Yeah.
And he was also younger and like progressive, you know, like he didn't ever have to like evolve into.
Right. He was always progressive, but
he was always
out here. Yeah. Fighting racism and like,
but the things that were progressive in the '60s are not necessarily the things that are progressive now. Like there are some people who are considered very progressive in the '60s. And right now we would look at them and be like, oh, you're very moderate, you know, like
that's real.
So you still have to have a sense of like, to be able to evolve and change and constantly question your own belief systems and update them and stuff. The world is always changing. And I feel like the people who are making the rules and the laws that are going to exist for the next 10, 20, 30 years should be the people who are going to have to live with them.
Right. I do completely agree.
I agree.
I really do. I don't know. The state of politics today is...
Rushing. What about pop culture, you guys? Let's move over. What's happening?
What's pop culture? Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker got engaged. That's what I know. Is that his name?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they just
I honestly was like, cool. That's the only pop culture thing that I know is going on.
I don't know anything about pop culture.
Exactly.
I'm so terrible. B, I thought you would have had us on this.
I'm usually so good with pop culture. So that was the biggest news, I feel.
Yeah, Courtney and Travis.
God, I just... Oh, also, we were talking about how... the Kardashians are honestly like... I feel like they're my second family, guys.
Ew, that is terrible.
I love them so much. I know. Casey always drags me for that. Yeah. And I was really upset when I saw that Kim Kardashian hosted SNL and we watched her perform. Yeah. We watched her monologue.
Yeah.
Oh, she killed it.
Yeah, her opening monologue was very funny. Her opening monologue was very funny. Real... I mean, 100% she didn't write it. 100%. She just she like went into the writer's room and like threw things at them and it was like, I'll release my hellhounds and demons if you do not make me funny. That's what she sounds like. And she was in her like, Kanye West like black cloak. Like she came in without a face. Like the woman who has no face
was
and just like screamed
weirdest
at the
outfit choice.
They are actually demon possessed. I'm convinced. Like, they're not okay. That family is dark.
Honestly, in my head, I was like, is that even kin? Like, is that just a body double that she was like, I'm bored and I don't want to go. Like, someone else go for me and just make it so my face can't be seen. Honestly, it was just a genius choice. It was that's genius.
It was a dark spirit that was inhabiting clothing. Like, there was nothing underneath there.
It was dark. It was the demon that was possessing me at the beginning of this.
Yeah. Yes.
Well.
So that's been Pop Culture Corner at the Black.
We don't know anything. Yeah, I don't know anything about pop culture these days, you guys.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
I don't either.
You guys, I don't know. I've been on like recovery mode of like, I feel like I've been doing too much in life. So I've been so away from pop culture. But I don't know if you guys have talked about this, like everything that's going on with Netflix and Dave Chappelle.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. I did want to talk about
that.
Good
idea. Good idea.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you so much.
There are so many, let's
all right. Let's go. Because here's the thing. I am a Dave Chappelle fan. I think that he is one of the most brilliant comedians to have ever lived. And this was not good. This was not a good special. This special was very disappointing. And it felt like rather than... So some of the specials that the LGBTQ IA plus community were upset about before this one, I've been like, okay, to be fair, he attacks everybody, you know, like he makes jokes about it. You know, it didn't seem like so much a personal, like, it didn't seem like a personal attack. It seemed like normal Dave Chappelle jokes where you're going to like him or you won't because he's saying shit about a group that you belong to. And he does that with a lot of groups. Mm-hmm. Whereas this felt personal, this felt like a personal fight, this felt like doubling down in actual, like, bigotry and problematic thoughts. And also, it in a weird way, he kept separating the queer community and people of color. And I was like, you know that there are queer people of color. Like, you know that these two things, there's like intersectionality that exists as well. And it seemed like for the first time I watched that and I was like, oh, Dave, you're old, you know, like you're out of touch and you're doubling down. Kind of like what we just talked about where I was like, oh, you used to be really progressive and you got stuck. You got stuck in these old ideas. Now you feel like you're from a different generation and you're digging your heels into very antiquated and dangerous, honestly, beliefs, because it's not like the group of people that you're making jokes about is not currently, you know, disappearing and being attacked and being discarded without a second thought
and also being attacked legally. I mean, there are plenty of anti-trans bills that are going through state legislatures right now. So like that time, I mean, I have never had a personal thought about, like, Dave. I know who Dave Chappelle is and like I've seen his stuff and like some of it makes me laugh, some of it's not my style. I don't love comedy that pokes fun at people. It's just never really been like my jam. Like some of it I'm like, ha hee ha ha ha. But it just like the timing of it has to be so right. Yeah. And it just felt, you're right, it felt really dangerous.
Yeah.
Like this goer. I haven't watched the special. I've just read like, you know, what people have said about it. But I just like, it just feels like such a dangerous time to be making these jokes when like trans people are like fighting to stay alive.
Yeah.
I was going to say seen.
Yeah.
So, like, and like, why are you so bothered? Like, that was really my question. Like, why are you so bothered? Like, oh my God, just like leave them alone. I read this Margaret Atwood, who is, an author, I believe. Her name is really familiar to me, but I saw her and I was like, I know she's like someone literary, but I like can't think of who she is for real. But she wrote an article that was like, why can't we say women anymore? And I was like, you can say woman though. Like that's not the problem. It's like these older people are not understanding that like adding in more inclusive language doesn't mean that like the word woman is going to go away. Like, yeah.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of like what I took away from what everybody was saying about Dave Chappelle, is that there's this like fear of trans people from him that translates into like attacking jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. B, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I think it was very, it felt like he was starting a war between the trans community and Black people. And that's literally how he ended his special. He was like, the trans community needs to stop. All I'm asking is for you to stop coming after
punching,
my people.
Punching down on my people. And I was like,
on my people. What is, like, if, I mean, we had all these Black trans women. There was a whole movement for that. Like, they were getting killed every single day. Yeah, and those are just the ones that were being reported. And so he was, like, splitting. It was so bizarre.
What was, like, the context? Like I said, I haven't seen it. So, like, what was the context of him saying that?
It was because that's been the criticism against him from the trans community has been that, like, it's cheap because you're just punching down on us. Like, the trans community is, you know, some trans people took the stance of, like, it's easy because we are now, you know, at the bottom of things. We are the most discarded, the least cared about, all that. So stop punching down on us. And he was like, and so then he defensively was like, punching down. Like, he makes a statement where he's like, he says something about gay people or queer people always being gay until it's time to be white again. And then they're white. So, like, in saying that, he means that, like, if you want to call the police on me, which, again, he's only talking about white queer people.
Trans,
trans and queer. Like, it's just like, you're acting like there is no intersectionality. And that's so strange to me. But he's saying, like, at the end of the day, you have a white body and you can use, and like, of the two of us, I'm going to be the one who gets in trouble if you call the police, because then you get to decide to be white. You kind of, and I feel like he has this weird disdain about, like, white queer people being able to, I feel like he thinks that they're choosing their oppression. Like, they can put on their oppression when they want it and take it off when they when they don't. Mm-hmm. And when he's just like, Black people don't have that choice. I'm Black, you know, forever. I can't put it down and pick it up. So, like, what are you talking about? Stop punching down on my people, was his stance.
Well, he also was talking about, he met one of his best friends who was a Black trans woman.
Right?
And so he was, doing stand up. I think she was. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe
you
so.
Said
or
it's
maybe
one of his best friends.
It was what? So he was, he was on tour. He was doing all these jokes about the LGBTQ community, and he saw a trans woman laugh at his jokes, and they became really good friends. And she was a comedian and went on tour with him. All of this to say they got really close, and when his Sticks and Stones special came out, that's what it was called, right? Sticks and Stones?
I think that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, and the trans community got really upset. She defended him and was like, and the trans community came after her. And he kind of made it seem like he was blaming. So they came after her, and then
spoiler alert if you're going to watch this.
Yeah, spoiler, she committed suicide. And he says that it's because he was more for her than the trans community. And that's when he was like, stop punching on my people. All she was doing was standing up for like me and for like they were jokes. It wasn't supposed to be this big political thing. Yeah. And his whole thing was, you guys act like you're a community, but like othering also. It was just so bad. It's so bad. Yeah. And me repeating it makes it's so dark.
Yeah.
And that's how he ends it. He's like, you guys were not there for her. I was. So don't tell me that I'm anti-trans when I was there for my friend when you guys were just beating up on her.
Yeah.
That is also, but that to me is the same, like, I can't be racist, I have black
I have a black friend. Like, that's exactly what I was saying.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Like, exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I have so many thoughts in my head right now. I don't even think that I could articulate all of them because I'm actually just, like, enraged.
Yeah.
I do not think my type of like, I have a dark sense of humor. I love a good, like, dark joke. I think they're great. I think that if you are a person, like, if you're a part of a community, I also think it's a lot different. If I want to make fun of white women, I will make fun of white women all fucking day because I am a white woman. If I want to make fun of the LGBTQ community, I will do that because I am a part of this community. Like, there are different, I feel like there's, like, different levels. And I also feel like coming after a community that has been, like, specifically the trans community, though, that has been fighting. I mean, I've said this before, my brain is just, like, blown to pieces that he had a friend who was trans, who he then still decided to make these jokes about people. Like, and I also think, too, that, like, he was like, it wasn't supposed to be this political thing. You made the jokes. You wrote your special. You decided to do this. If you don't want the fucking smoke, don't make the political jokes. Like, well, but I mean, this is the time we live in.
It seems like he doesn't mind the smoke is the thing, which is my confusion. It's like, there are so many other things that you can be making jokes about, and you're choosing to continue to go back to this. Why?
Yeah. Like, doubling down.
Like,
yeah.
And also in a lot of the decisions that he made. So he met this woman that he was friends with because she was an aspiring comedian, and she was at his shows, and she was hearing these trans jokes, and she was laughing. Like, she was, like, cracking up. And so then they met after the thing, and she was like, I'm one of your biggest fans. And so then he invites her to go on tour with him and open the show. And even that was like, I feel like you're trying to make a point. Like, I feel like even in inviting her to open the show for you is you showing the audience, like, it's like when the Republican Party gets a token black person and they're like, look, watch the black person agree with all this stuff. And it's just like, I found it, like, a little disgusting, like, in that way. And also, it really, like, he even admittedly, when he said that she killed herself, was like, I don't know what else she had going on in her life. And I couldn't help but think, like, to be the trans person in the audience laughing the loudest, like, over everybody, it just feels like there could have been, and I'm not putting this on this woman at all, I did not know her, but to exclude the possibility that there could have been a lot of internalized hatred, there could have been a lot of, you know, it like laughed so that everybody doesn't take pity on me, like
laugh at me.
I'm laughing loudest and I'm laughing first, so you know, then it won't hurt as much. There are just so many different possibilities, and I'm saying that from somebody, like, who is a minority and has been in a space when I was younger where I would hear black jokes and be like, ha, 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 you know, like, because you don't you don't want to make a spectacle of it, you don't want to fight about it, you don't want to you know, be like, I don't want to make too big of a deal of this. It's not that big of a deal, you guys. Yeah. You know,
it makes it go away quicker. Like, let's brush it off.
I just feel like there are so many different possibilities for how she felt, and we unfortunately will never know because she's no longer with us. But to say that it's because she got it, she understood, is just assuming a lot. You know, like, I'm like, you don't.
Yeah. Well, and also too, to assume that all trans people feel the same way. It's insane.
Exactly.
It's like assuming there are gay people who love Donald Trump. There are, sorry, I said his name again without a trigger warning. I apologize. there is like this black guy that I saw on TikTok who was like defending the Confederate flag. Like, people have different thoughts, and that doesn't mean that, like, because this one person didn't find it offensive, that the rest of the community and the community at large can't then be offended. And it doesn't make that person wrong, but it also means that you should listen if there's a majority of people telling you something. Like, it blows my mind. I had a boss, we had this, like, whole drink scandal at this bar that I was working at. It will remain nameless, but there were some, like, insensitive parts of these drinks, and we had a regular that we, like, ran it by, And my boss was like, well, this person said it was okay. And I was like, yeah, but that doesn't mean that every other black person that walks in here isn't going to be like, what the fuck is this? Like, it's just completely asinine and such a I have black friends excuse to be like, I had a trans friend and you guys killed her because she got it and you didn't. Like, maybe many things can be true. She could have gotten it. And we do not. That is true. But we are also not wrong for being offended that you are attacking, personally attacking, in two specials in a row.
Right.
A community that has literally been through hell and is actively being, like, kicked out of multiple spaces. Like, it's just the most ridiculous thing to me. And I personally, I have never, like I said, had a personal, like, relationship to his work. And so I could never watch a thing that Dave Chappelle does again, and I would be completely fine. Yeah. I think that the way that he has doubled down again and again, it's like J.K. Rowling. Like, it's just not for me. Like, I'm just like, okay, like, I guess, geez Louise.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just such a bummer because he's so much, or he has been, he's just so smart that it's like, ah, God, why are you, it's just confusing to me. I don't know why he won't let it go. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just, let this go. Yeah. There's so many more things to, also, he said at one point, he was like, I've met Caitlyn Jenner, wonderful person. And I was like, I'm sorry?
You were like, she's a bad person, actually.
She sucks. Like, she sucks.
It's just again. It's like, literally just again. Awful. I have black friends. I have trans friends.
I was like,
friends.
What are you I talking? Well, and like, I think he was saying that because he made fun of Caitlyn Jenner in the last special. And like, him making fun of Caitlyn Jenner, I actually didn't mind. But because he wasn't making fun of Caitlyn Jenner, like, he didn't misgender her or anything like that. He was just making fun of Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, that's actually kind of funny. But I think he was making that point to be like, I've met her since then. She's great. You know, like, she was nice to
She's
me.
She's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why are you doing this? Why are you literally the trans community attacking you, unfortunately, does not affect your career even a little bit, even at all. Like, you still like have another special. So why are you going out of your way to pick a fight with them?
Yeah. Like,
leave them alone.
So
yeah. And also, he was also saying things about the LGBT community and made it seem like, and the movement, and like, oh, everyone is now free in that community. Like, you guys have zero pressure. Like, you guys can do whatever you want whenever. Like, if all these especially recently, he was acting like all these laws were not a thing. Like, like, he made it seem like that community had it all figured out, and black people were still being, like, it was so bizarre.
Yeah.
It was so.
He was really
like, you guys are like, so.
Oppression Olympics.
Yeah, it really was.
It really was.
And it was bizarre, and it was unnecessary. It was really unnecessary. I'm like, Dave, you could have kept this one. Like, you really could have kept this one.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah. And I really wish that he would, like, listen and learn from this, but I can guarantee you his next special is going to be the exact same thing.
Well, this is supposed to be the last one.
The last one, yeah.
That he ever does, ever.
I mean, it's called The Closer. Well, it's going to be the last one for a long time, which he says that at the beginning of the special.
You know what? Good. Maybe he can take a minute and rethink.
I mean, because he had to know that it was going to be awful. Yeah. Like, it was that people were not going to like it. People were not going to. So I think that's why he made this one the closing one. But I'm like, that's unfortunate for your actual fans. Like, I hate that this was your closer, because you're so much better than this, or at least you were. And now I'm just like leaving with kind of a bad taste in my mouth of being like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Not such a bummer.
Like, okay, cool, I guess.
Yeah. So that sucks. Thank you for bringing that up, though, because that was...
Yeah. Good job, B. Pop culture corner turned into...
Pop culture corner.
Other corners.
With B.
Well...
I'm trying to think of a...
Corner.
I'm trying to think of a question. So last week we did what? The WNBA
I have
question.
One. Oh, go. I have one. Oh, dang it. No. What is our... I was going to... I have something that we should all end on.
Oh, I mean, but you can do that too, because I don't know that I have a... I mean, I guess I can just ask you guys. So the next video I think that we're doing after this WNBA one is going to be on the institution of marriage. Yes. And I guess
I'm very excited to do the research for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really interested in it. But I don't really know what the story will be. And I guess my question would be, it's not a fully formulated question because I'm coming up with it right now. Do you see value in the institution of marriage in our current day life? And if so, why or why not?
I say
see it.
You go, Paige. B. You go, B.
You're like harmonized.
I think there is, because I always think about, I don't know why my mind always goes to this, but I always think about, and I guess it is because we're in a pandemic and there's a health crisis happening, right? Let's say my loved one is in the hospital and I have to make a drastic decision. Sometimes marriage will give me that license to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. So and like wanting to buy a home and want, it's those things that I do feel that it is important. I do want to have a say in those decisions. And yeah. I think that being an immediate family member through mm-hmm. marriage will give me that, you know?
Yeah.
So
the only time I can ever really see like an actual reason for it, and this just shows a lot about who I am, is like, cool, two incomes. awesome, two incomes.
I mean,
like,
you can do
great.
That without
I won't have
married.
To do this
married
I
yeah.
won't have to do this all by myself, like, but like there's like legal like joint bank accounts and shit that like they like tax credits, like you get a tax write-off or some weird yeah. shit when you're married. The only yeah. reason I can ever really think about like getting married is like the financial gains of it.
Savage. Love that for you.
So I'm a romantic.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly. You hear that, Canadian Bay? She's ready.
Canadian Bay. I'm so ready for you. Casey, what do you think?
I mean, I'm a old Southern girl, you know, so
marry me.
At my roots.
Canadian Bay. Are you listening?
I'm such a, I feel like at my core, I'm very traditional, even though I'm super progressive. So yeah, I mean, I believe in the institution of marriage and find value in it for all the reasons that Bea was saying, like legally, I want to be able to have say if ever there's an emergency, mm-hmm. whether it be health mm-hmm. or financial. But also I think that there is something to choosing a legal partnership with somebody, you know, there's a certain level of commitment yeah. that I think I want to know that the person is willing to really hitch their cart to my wagon and vice versa. And like do this
hitch their giddy up.
Yeah. I got so country.
Hitch their giddy up there.
Yes. Anyway, yes. I believe in it for both like the romantic reasons and for the legal reasons. But I mean, I feel like logically though, I don't know if there's actually like a need for it in 21st century life. Like,
yeah,
I feel like if you really wanted to avoid it, you honestly could. But
yeah,
as for me and my
yeah,
house,
at least it's not when we were like being, you know, thrown around to just
yeah because husband. I mean that's why it was created you know initially it was like property you know you
right
you,
mm-hmm.
and so
yeah
that's why a lot of people are like do we still need this and I'm like well like I get where it yeah. comes from but I think it can be
and you're like but I kind of want it
but I still want yeah. it
I
do. Yeah
oh yay well I'm excited to learn more about that and then talk about it
yeah me too
that's
me
a,
too
that's a cool topic
yeah and then Paige what did you want our clothes
okay.
to be?
What is everyone's Halloween costume going to be?
Oh my God, Bea has such a good answer. I'm stressed. I'm actually going to a costume shop today to try and figure it out.
Okay.
I've actually been making, well, my cousin's been making my costume and I've been helping. Yes. I am going to be Shania Twain for, in the Don't Impress Me Much video.
Stop. Which one?
The All Leopard.
oh my God, I'm so sorry, listeners. Oh, I love that. I can't wait to see it. Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
I got the wig. I got, I mean, it's going to be pretty spectacular.
That is amazing.
What's yours, Paige?
I am going to be, so I have one for work on Saturday night. I'm going to be, but my two other coworkers and I, we're going to be Charlie's Angels. So we have like 70s jumpsuits that we're getting. We're going to do like the big hair and like the whole moment. And then I'm really excited about, so for Halloween, we're having a Halloween party at my house. And I am not typically super into Halloween. I like to be comfy. And so I was like, what can I dress up as and still just be comfy, not have to buy like a bunch of stuff? And I found this wig that looks just like Neve Campbell's hair in Scream. And so I'm just going to be Sydney Prescott because I can just wear jeans and a t-shirt, throw some blood on me and throw on a wig. And nice. Here she is. And I'm really excited. I also bought like clip-in bangs to see like if I didn't even have to wear the wig. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm going to be Sydney Prescott from Scream. And that's, I'm really excited amazing. About that one.
Yeah, I don't.
She is a national treasure.
Nev.
I wanted to be Akasha. Aaliyah. Okay, so Aaliyah from Queen of the Damned. That's what I wanted my costume to be.
Oh my God, yeah.
But it's very, very difficult. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull that together.
Yeah, that's like when you have to like grab on for a while, like, and get little pieces here.
I don't know. So we'll see. I have no idea, but I have a party to go to on Saturday night. And so I'm going to try to figure something out. But
I love that.
Yeah, that's all. Well, yay. I think that wraps it up for us. Thank you guys for listening. As usual, like, rate, subscribe, comment, and share. And also send us your questions so that we may answer them on air. That's all. Oh, yeah. Send those to the BLKBoardCollective@gmail.com. Okay. Bye.
Goodbye.
Wow, that was beautiful, you guys.
I was like, is it going to end? She's not stopping. I'm not stopping.
I loved it.